with us now is Laura Perrins, one of the editors of the Conservative Woman website, and Labour MP Catherine West. Welcome to both of you. What's wrong, Laura, with having an International Women's Day?
Well, the problem with International Women's Day is that it presents feminist orthodoxy as sort of neutral political theory, which is simply not the case. I mean, one of the reasons we set up the website, The Conservative Woman, is to counter this feminist agenda, which we believe many women are not signed up to. In fact, the Fawcett Society themselves found out that only 7% of women identify as feminist.
So not representative, and actually seems to be something that is captured by rich Western societies and not necessarily the third world.
Well, actually, one of the most enjoyable celebrations in my constituency is with the Turkish speakers, where we all get together for a women's breakfast and sit around and have boiled eggs and tomatoes and cucumbers and olives and all this wonderful thing and talk about things. And we have to remember, not only is it a time for celebration, but to remember all the things that we still have to do, like, you know, two women each week are killed by their violent partners, sadly. We still have an enormous amount to do, and it allows us not only to reflect on the past, but also to celebrate what's coming up in the future.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, International Women's Day is incredibly patronising because elite Western women get to co-opt the problems of women in the developing world, who genuinely, obviously, are oppressed and need help. They elite women in the West, and particularly in Britain, co-opt these problems for their own narrow agenda in terms of climbing the greasy pole. It's a sort of oppression envy, and it's incredibly insulting and patronising to sort of identify women as a special interest group. They're not a special interest group. I'm not interested in identity politics and splitting the electorate into narrow groups. I'm interested in saying, you know, what is the common good? What is in the interests of society as a whole? And what are the different roles that women can play and men in a complementary way and in an interdependent way, as opposed to constantly being in conflict with each other?
What do you say to that? I mean, it's 50% of the population. So in that sense, Laura's right. It's not a special interest group.
No, and I think what's really exciting is that so many men are supportive of International Women's Day and are supportive in the battles that we still have to win over violence against women. And, you know, many men have pioneered work in the courts to help women who are survivors of domestic violence and so on. So I just think that it's just an opportunity just to remember what are our key goals around trying to help women in these situations.
But how is this day really going to help you achieve goals of equality or defeating domestic violence or equalising the pay gap, if it still exists?
Well, I think it allows us to really focus our work on it. So you have both the celebration, but you've also got, for example, I went into a school this morning, Hornsey Girls School, and we had a conversation similar to one that you've just had with the two politicians in here. They're all firmly in the in camp, I have to say, being very open-minded and tolerant. They seem to be worried about travelling. They say they won't be able to travel and do all the things that they... And I think they were trying to encapsulate a mood or a feeling about something to do with the out campaigners who seem a bit sort of negative and macho.
Right, well, let's just stay off the EU referendum for a bit, for a few moments. The pay gap. I mean, are you really saying that there are no issues left that women still have to campaign on because life is equal in every way?
Well, there's certainly no pay discrimination. There's no evidence. I mean, there's single cases, of course, but there's no evidence that, you know, women are being discriminated against to a huge extent. In fact, women out-earn men under the age of about 35.
Before they have kids, mostly?
Yes, before they have children. So then women decide to have children and also to care for them. And the feminists would have us believe that this is a terrible thing, that women taking time out of their careers to raise their children, to care for them and give them the attention they need
Do you think that's terrible,
oppressive.
Catherine?
The evidence is that over a 52-year lifetime of working, women are £300,000 worth off. That's the evidence by PwC, who's a very well-respected consultancy. But if I could just finish, I think what matters, though, is that, and women do choose in certain instances, but a lot of women don't have a choice. Maybe they're a single-parent household. They have to pay their rent, they have to pay their bills, and they have to work. So this idea that there's choice, certainly in an expensive city with housing at the cost that it is in London, many women don't have that choice, and they go out and find what they can and work.
Right. I mean, that's over a lifespan. Are you saying that women choose to earn less in some instances when they do take time out to look after their children and come back part-time?
A recent report by the Department of Education showed that middle-class women in particular actually would work less and than they currently do, and look after their children if they were able to. If
and that's middle class women. What about women who don't have the choice, as Catherine was saying, those who need to go out to work?
They are supported. There is a very big welfare state, and most of their childcare is covered in the tax credit system in terms of poor women. But just in terms of when men get older and men do earn more money than women, that money is being spent on women. The money that men are earning is being spent on their families. Only in the West would that be seen as a bad thing. We should be celebrating the fact that men are willing to provide for their families. It's a great thing.
Can I say, as the token man in this discussion...
Not token, but yes.
Let me make 2 points. The first is the evidence about women who don't have children. So the issue of maternity, career breaks and all that doesn't apply. They still don't do as well, not as many of them get to the top in different professions or areas of business or whatever.
That's not the evidence I've read.
My second point is that I think we need to make a cultural shift that women who become mothers come back to paid work a few years later. Why don't, instead of saying there's a career break, why don't we say these are people who've become immensely skilled at multitasking, time management, conflict resolution, being able to work flat out when dog tired. And I think we should be making those 4, 5, 6 years part of a positive aspect of your CV, and women coming back into the workforce, especially when they want to go far in their careers, are given more opportunities to do so because of their experience of motherhood, not despite it.
And on that note, I'm afraid, we have to end it just before you come in. Thank you, ladies, very much.